chapter 1. What a handsome bunch of folks this morning. God is so good. You really know He's good, guys. You know, whatever it is, whatever's going on, if we've got Jesus, man, we're blessed. Oh, we worship You, Lord. Help me give Him some praise. We worship You, Father God. We worship You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. You know, it's strange. It's weird, man. But I was thinking, well, that's weird in itself. But anywho, check this out, man. It's been like 9 years. 9 years since I've been preaching every Sunday. Isn't that wild, man? Isn't that crazy? Anywho, whatever. Luke 1 and verse 26 is where we're going to start this morning. And guys, just open up your hearts to the Word of God. Father God, we love You. We praise You, Lord. Thank You that none of us are going to leave here the same way we came in. That we're going to leave refreshed and excited. Thank You, Father God, that You set the captives free, Lord. That there's nothing that we can do on our own, Lord. But it's Your anointing that breaks the yoke, Father. Thank You so much, Lord, for Your deliverance and Your healing, Lord God. And giving us that excitement and that desire to be what You've called us to be. Thank You, Father God, that Your name will be lifted up in this church, Lord, in our homes and in our hearts. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name we pray. Amen. Luke 1 and verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel. What's this in the sixth month business? Okay, so we got the angel Gabriel coming to pay a visit to a little girl from Nazareth. Her name's Mary. But 6 months earlier, this angel made an appearance to John the Baptist's father. Okay, so there's a lot going on right now. And during this particular time in Israel, they have not had a prophet of God in Israel for like 400 years. So it's kind of a dry time, a stagnant time. People are really, really under a lot of repression, oppression. Right now in our story, the Romans are ruling over Judea. They're ruling over Israel. They're ruling over all over the place, you know. And the religious elite of Israel are power hungry. And, well, I guess I can say it like this. They don't seem to have the people of Israel's best interests at heart, but they tend to enjoy their power. And there's just a lot of crazy, crazy stuff that's going on in Israel. But see, God's working behind the scenes in this situation, because God's about to do something amazing that is going to change everything. You know, it's what we're talking about right now, 2,000 years later. You know, that our world has been completely changed, that God made a way for man to be saved. Amen. And when Adam and Eve sinned, you know, God the Father didn't slip off the throne. He didn't pull out His hair. He didn't start cussing out angels or anything like that. He knew that was going to take place. God, you've heard it before, but God doesn't have a plan B. You know, God knew that sin was going to enter the world. And it says in the Word of God that before, listen up, before the foundations of the earth, okay, so before brick one was laid on the foundation, before there was anything as far as this earth goes, before the foundations of the earth, Jesus Christ had already committed to lay down His life. He was the lamb. He was the lamb slain before the foundations of the earth. So He wasn't slain until that day in Jerusalem on that cross, some 33 years after His birth in Bethlehem. But as far as He was concerned, as far as God the Father was concerned, it was a done deal that He was going to lay down His life so we can live forever. So I do, guys, I really want us to be encouraged, and not just right now, right here, but throughout the week, throughout the month. Get your eyes off of yourself, right? You know, let's be true. Let's be honest. When we focus on what we don't have or what everybody else has, man, you're going to get yourself in a bad place. All right? Focus on God. Focus on God and His goodness. Amen? And what better time than right now when we're celebrating His birthday? Can I get a witness? In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. So all this is, what we got here is everything coming together, man. We have all these Old Testament prophecies, all these promises made by God, by his holy prophets about the Messiah, and everything's just coming together. And it's amazing when you look back. So we have the privilege because we get to look back on the birth of the Messiah. And we see all the Old Testament prophecies. Now, so we have that wonderful privilege that people in this in that day and age didn't have, because we get to look back and see, wow, man, God said this was going to happen. And even though it's completely impossible, and he made all these different promises, it happened exactly how God promised it was going to happen. So I want you to look at your life and think, and I don't want you to think about how your life is so impossible and how this could never happen to me, God could never use me, or I've just made such a big, huge mess of things, because I know how we can think, because, you know, I'm just like you guys, man. We've all fallen short. We've all blown it. And we all have a tendency to be selfish when we get our eyes off of the Lord. Can I get a witness? That's all of us. Okay? But whatever it is, it ain't impossible, and it's not too late. Okay? Stand on God's promises. So there was this prophecy that the Messiah would be out of Nazareth. And here we go. Guess what? Jesus was born in Bethlehem, and that was also a prophecy that was fulfilled. But also, he was raised in Nazareth. And there was also a prophecy that he would be out of Egypt. Well, how in the world can he be out of three places? Well, after he was born in Bethlehem, they fled to Egypt, okay, to get away from King Herod. So we can look back on all these different prophecies, and I would encourage you guys to do it. You're bright people. Get excited. Do some research in the Word of God. Okay, just don't take my word for it, but see what the Word of God says, and then see how all these things happen so beautifully. And quite frankly, it's just, with man, these things are impossible. But God's moving the heart of a king to make sure that Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah, will be born in Bethlehem. So give him some praise. Go ahead, give him some praise. Now think about that for a second. What a, today I'm taking a flight to Texas, and I have to drive all day tomorrow. I'm driving back with my son, thank you, Jesus. So my son's getting out of the Air Force. I'm really stoked about that. But one thing I'm not really stoked about is driving a U-Haul, you know, halfway across the country. But you know what? It's a small price to pay, man. It's a small price to pay to have my boy back here. And it's nothing to it, but as I was thinking about that, I was like, man, I really don't want to take that drive, man, you know. But see, look at it like this. Look at this. That's nothing. That Mary and Joseph, you know, you think they were like doing flips and so stoked and excited. Hey, we have to go back to your ancestral hometown, Joe. We got to go back to Bethlehem because of the census. Caesar's got us doing this census thing so we could be taxed more and all this. This is awesome. We get to spend all this time alone together on the trip, on the journey. This is great. Yeah, I doubt they were really stoked about that. You know, she was super pregnant. You know, she was pregnant. And she didn't have the luxury of driving in a car or an airplane or none of that stuff, man. Maybe she had a donkey. Maybe she had something like that. But they had to go through this horrible, long journey. But see, sometimes you look at your life and you think, man, dude, my life is messed up. Nothing's working out, man. Look, God is working behind the scenes. Trust in him. God had to get Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem. So God had Caesar Augustus do this stinking census thing. I'm saying that your God is in control, and you can be excited. Stop looking at your glasses being half empty, but just be stoked, man. Just be stoked, because there's a God in heaven that loves you. Give him some praise. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. That's a prophecy as well, man. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her. What's up, dude? What's up, cool daddy? That's my man right there. And he came to her and said, now check this out, man. We're talking about a little girl here. We're talking about, you know, 14, 15, something like that. Probably in her home. We don't know exactly. But check this out. And he came to her and said, who? Gabriel, man, an angel that just left the throne room of the Most High God is meeting with this little girl, man. What a cool thing, eh? Hey, guys? Yeah. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you." Man, I love that so much. It's a little kid, man. Little girl. Probably not thinking too much about nothing. Who knows what in the world was on her mind at that moment. She probably was not thinking, you know what? I am favored by God. I have got God's favor. Or maybe she was. Well, she's about to be very perplexed and confused about this greeting, so maybe she wasn't. But see, here's the deal, man, and really let this soak in. You know, we need to come to God. We need to have that childlike faith, man. That childlike faith of knowing then that my God is good. You know, my God loves me, all right? It doesn't matter what the newspaper says. It doesn't matter what your professor said. God is real, and God loves his people. So the big thing is, are you his people? Have you decided that you want his favor in your life? Because that's where the favor comes from, is being in the family. Okay, so we have this little girl who is favored by God. She loves God, man. Okay, now last week I said, isn't it cool that Jesus Christ was able to pick out his stepdaddy? You know, it's like Joseph, he's the man for the job. But think about this young lady, that God in heaven, that Jesus Christ says, you know what? That's the one. That's her. She's going to be the perfect mama. Isn't that cool? Isn't that just strange and weird and bizarre and awesome? That Jesus Christ was able to pick out his mama and his stepdaddy. You know what I mean? And God's got some plans for you too, church. Okay? So you can look around and be discouraged if you want to. And I know it's been a heck of a year. It's been a wild one, man. But I'll tell you this, man. God has been so faithful to me. And I know that God has been faithful to you. And it has been through this, involuntarily at first being kind of pushed, you know, into an uncomfortable situation. You know, we've all been, you know, pushed out of our comfort zone. None of us expected it. None of us wanted it, you know. But God has allowed us to go through this wild and crazy year, and it's been wild. And some people have went through a lot. There are people in this church that have went through a lot this year, okay? So seriously, I want you to think real fast, man, that we didn't ask for this, but God said, you know what? I'm going to turn up the heat a little bit. I want my people to call on my name. I want my people to enjoy that relationship with me. And we don't pray, we don't hunger and thirst for him like we do when everything's kind of falling apart. Can I get a witness? So God knows what he's doing. This is his method. This is his preferred method to drawing his kids closer to him, to maturing us. You know, we were going through this crazy year, and a lot of us are optimistic about next year. I'm optimistic about next year because either way, God's still going to be making his man. Either way, God is going to be right there with us, and God wants us to grow in that relationship. So in reality, as I look back on this year, honest to goodness, man, I would have never picked out any of this stuff, but I know that I can say this, that God has been so faithful. He has been so faithful to me, and I really feel like this. Like I said, I wouldn't have picked none of this stuff out for myself, but this has truly been a year when I've hungered and thirsted to be more like God and less like myself. And I doubt Paulie would have made that statement if it was just like business as usual. But you know, there's just something about being in those situations where, God, I can't do this on my own. God, I don't know what I'm going to do. God, there's another hurricane. God, my house is flooding. God, my washing machine broke. God, my heater broke. And God is so faithful, man. Give him some praise. I'm sorry. I'm just kind of bragging on Jesus. But let's look at this. Greetings, O favored one. So do we have the Lord's favor like Mary? You got to be in the family, guys. You got to be in the family. Well, what's that mean? You believe that Jesus Christ is who he said he is. You believe he's the Son of God and that he died for your sins and he rose from the dead. You got to understand that you need a Savior, and that is your Savior. And you accept him as your Lord and Savior. And you say, God, I'm sorry. I've broken your law, and I need you to be my Lord and Savior. You say that and you mean that. It doesn't matter if you see fireworks. It doesn't matter if you fall down backwards. It don't matter if none of that or all of that happens. If you say it and believe it, welcome to the family of the Most High God. Can I get a witness? Let's talk briefly let's talk briefly about the fact that we want God's favor, man. We need God's favor, okay? Just like little Mary. Oh, greetings, favored one. What does that look like? Favored one. Remember, we're in the family, right? Favored one, the Lord is with you. Now, I talk about that a lot, but that is such an important thing. And we see it right here all throughout the Christmas story, man. That, hey, man, if you got God's favor, guess what? He's with you. And that does not mean, okay, I'm talking to people that have accepted Jesus Christ. I'm talking to saved people. Okay, that doesn't mean that God's going to be cool with any old thing you do. That doesn't mean that God's going to give approval to every time you break his law. He's like, oh, that's my kid. It's cute. And, you know, it's like when your kid's real little and he says a bad word and you're like, you know what I'm saying? No, God's not like that, man. And you guys do that, don't you? Anyways, God's not going to give approval. He's not going to be stoked and doing somersaults when you decide to go around his law. And don't expect his blessing, do you hear what I'm saying? If you decide to go around his law. And if you're going around his law as a Christian and you don't feel any grieving of the Holy Spirit, you don't feel bad about breaking his law, okay, then you might not be a Christian. Because I know when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, yeah, I continued to do a lot of the things that I did before I was a Christian, but there was a big difference, man. A big difference. My heart began to be grieved because I knew that this was not pleasing to God. You know, I knew that God did not approve of this. And I also knew that the Holy Spirit now dwelled inside me. And so the things that I was partaking in, I was dragging around the Holy Spirit. I was dragging God around to places to take part in things, to be a part of things that he despises. Think about that. Okay, so anyways, we have his favor. We're in the family. Does that make sense? What does that look like? He's with me. Look at Exodus 33. Do we have that? Okay, I don't think we have that. Yeah. Look. Exodus 33, verse 16. Now, there was a ton of verses I could grab to kind of make this point about God is with his people. I've got his favor. He is with me. But see, Moses went through this thing with the children of Israel, so I want to talk about this verse right here just briefly. Moses was in a situation, man. The Israelites, the people he was in charge of, they were a mess, man. They were a mess. They were getting in all kinds of trouble, and God had been so good to them. Look at your neighbor and say, I can relate to that. Yeah. Look, God had been so good to them, and they were getting involved in idol worship and all kinds of crazy stuff. So God meets with Moses, and he's like, hey, you know what, Moses? Here's the deal, man. I'm about to step back a little bit, and I'm going to have an angel go with you guys for the rest of this journey, okay? It's not going to be this one-on-one thing that everybody's been enjoying so far. I'm just going to have an angel go with you guys. And then Moses freaks out. I don't want an angel. I don't want an angel. Angels are awesome. Angels are cool. Angels are more than enough, okay? But Moses is like, no. We need your presence. We need you, okay? Exodus 33 and verse 16. Talking about God's favor, because you want it, you need it. We need his presence. Amen? Exodus 33 and verse 16 says, Moses, for how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight? What does God's favor look like? He's with us. We're in the family. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not in your going with us? See, think about that. Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you. This is just a little girl, man. This is just a young lady, man. And this angel appears. Says, hey, you know what? You are favored by God. God is with you. God's got a big plan for you. Let's go back to Exodus. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your eyesight, I and your people? Is it not in your going with us? That's what God's favor looks like, going with us, going before us, our shepherd that will never leave you or forsake you. He's not always going to dig the things you do when you want to go around his word. Okay, but if you're in that family, and I mean if you are in that family, just like you would not kick your son to the curb and say, I'm done with you. You are no longer in my family. Because you wouldn't do that because you love your son, right? So here's the Most High God. You're in the family. I'm not going to leave you or forsake you. Okay, I'm just trying to tell the truth right now. I and your people, is it not in your going with us so that we are distinct? I and your people from every other people on the face of the earth? What makes you different? Church people, what makes you different as far as the rest of the world? It's not that you're right here on a Sunday morning. I mean, that's part of it, you know. There's a lot of people that come to church that don't have a relationship with Jesus. You know what I mean? But look, what makes us different is we have God's favor. You know, the ungodly, the unsaved, the pagan, they've been going through this crazy year just like me and you. You know what I mean? But there's a difference because we have the Most High God with us. We have found favor with God. Does that make sense? Okay. So what's the difference? So that we are distinct. There's a difference between us and everybody else. Okay, let's go to verse 29. Luke 1, 29. So far, little Mary's met Gabriel, the angel. And so far, he's just given this amazing greeting. Greetings, O favored one. Sometimes we don't think of ourselves as being favored by God. Because we're comparing ourselves, right, to the Joneses. We're comparing ourselves to other people. Or we're saying, if I could just have this, my life would be gravy. No, it wouldn't. No, it wouldn't, man. What we need is God. Amen? So, talking to Christian folks that have God, we have Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we need to get our eyes back on him and realize he is really all we need. Amen? Okie dokie, tell the truth, shame the devil. But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me, don't it, to you? All this, I mean, this is a young lady doing the thing, whatever she's doing. Maybe she's making some fajitas, I don't know. She's doing something, you know? And here's an angel of the Lord. Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you. What? And she was probably freaking out, man. You know, what in the world is going on here, man? Listen, Jesus loves you. And he knows what you're going through. Think about that, man. Jesus loves you. You're not just some insignificant something. You are a child of the Most High God, and he loves you. Amen. Okay, so moving forward, let me read Ephesians 2 and verse 10. It's actually right here on your monitor. So here's this young lady who's quite perplexed. Yeah, that's a good word to say for it. What's going on here? Why am I talking with an angel? I'm a nobody. Nobody's a nobody when you're in the family of the Most High God. Did you hear what I just said? Nobody's a nobody when you're in the family of the Most High God. Congratulations, you are royalty. Okay? So look, let's read Ephesians 2:10. Because just like little Mary, who, on you know, just looking at her, she would be like anybody else. Just some young little Jewish girl that loved the Lord. I'm sure there's plenty of them in Nazareth. Okay, but look at how God looks at his people. Okay, Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship. That's cool. Another version says, or another translation says, we are his workmanship. Actually, that's this version. We are his handiwork. We are his masterpiece. That's my favorite. We are his masterpiece. What? So this little girl who was just doing the thing, God stops heaven and earth and sends this angel to say, hey, you are favored by God. And I want that to sink into you guys. I want it to sink into Steve Goulet and Rachel Rott and Court, everybody. You know, God really, really loves us, and you are not who your mama or your daddy told you were. You are something special. You are in the family of God. Amen? Yes. Ephesians 2 and verse 10. For we are his workmanship. We are God's masterpiece. There's no one like the Christian. Amen? We're not like the rest of the world. Amen. Can I get a witness? For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Okay, so you were this. You were something else. You were on your way to hell, and that's how it was. Okay, but when you accepted that precious gift, you became a new creation. You became a new creation in Christ. You were grafted into the family of the Most High God. You are special. Amen. For we are his work. The whole world, we are not all God's children. We're not, okay? I know that's not politically correct or whatever. Or we're not all God's kids, all right? That's a nice thing to say or whatever, but it's not true. It's not true at all, okay? We are all created in his image. We are all created by him, okay? But we become his children when we accept what our big brother, when we accept what Jesus Christ did for us at the cross. Then a supernatural thing happens and we are grafted in to the family of God. Okay, so Mary, this little girl who loves God, she's okay. She's got God's favor. The world probably wouldn't think much of her. You know, just some little girl walking around doing what she's supposed to do, doing her chores. You, maybe the world will never say, oh, you know what, you're all right. Maybe your people in your family might never say, oh, you know what, you're all right. But see, you have found favor with God, and you are in his family, and that's all we need. Amen? Ephesians 2 and verse 10, for we are his workmanship, or we are his masterpiece. I love that. For we are his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Now, real fast, let's talk about this, man. He didn't save you just so you can spend eternity with him, okay? He didn't save you just so we can enjoy being in his presence for all eternity. But see, he saved you also because he has some things for you to do. Does that make sense? Okay? He saved you because he wants, one of the reasons is he wants to use us here, okay? Now look at little Mary. Look at Joseph. Look at these guys, man. They were just people, ordinary people. Elijah the prophet, just an ordinary person, man. Okay, but they were obedient to God. They said, you know what? Not my will, but your will be done. You know, think about Joseph saying, yeah, you know, I'm gonna do this with Mary. I'm gonna take Mary on as my wife, just like I planned before, even though everybody in town's gonna think that she cheated on me or she was raped by some Roman, and she'll have to deal with all that, but she won't have to deal with all that alone because I'm gonna be with her. You know what I mean? There's just something about saying, God, you know what? Not my will, your will be done. Just like Elijah said, Isaiah said, here I am, send me. I know it's a tough job, but I'm the man for it. That's us, church. We want God's will. Amen? Amen. Think about what he's done for you. All righty. And you can do it because we have his favor and he's with us. Can I get a witness? All right. Tell the truth. Shame the devil. But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. So let's look at Ephesians 2:10. Let's finish this verse. For we are his masterpiece. Look at somebody and say, you are God's masterpiece. That's not a lie. That's how precious you are to God. Okay? Now think about it. Think about this, church people. Out of all the amazing things that we know of, that God has created, the heavens and the earth, the stars, the bunny rabbits, the baby dolls, everything. You know, the gazelles, giraffes. But you are his masterpiece. You are like, when he created you in Christ Jesus, he's like, this is it. This is it. This is the best. That's you guys, man. We are his masterpiece. Not that we're perfect, but we're perfect because we're perfect through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Let me say it like that. When God the Father sees us, he doesn't see some nasty, rotten sinner, but he sees somebody that's washed in the blood of his son. Can I get a witness? Amen. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. He had a job for Mary. He had a job for Joseph. And he's got a job for you guys to do. Okay? Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Let that sink in. Let that kind of blow your mind for a second. That just like Jesus Christ was the lamb slain before the foundations of the earth, his plan was already laid out. Just like little Mary, who was prophesied about throughout the Old Testament, and Jesus, all these things that were prophesied, well, God had a plan to use these people before they were ever even thought of by their mama and their papa. Okay? Now look at you guys, man. God had a plan for you, things that he wants you to do before you ever walked on this earth. Okay? So he said, you know what? I'm going to save your soul. You're one of the guys. I'm not going to let you get away. Because he does wish that he wishes that none would perish. But not everybody's going to come to that saving knowledge. Not everybody's going to accept Jesus Christ. But for some reason, he looked down at you. Maybe it was because somebody was praying for you. Maybe it's because he just decided, you know what? I'm going to pick this knucklehead out right here because this will blow everybody's mind. you know, that he wouldn't let you get away. And he wants to use you. And he had things for you to do, things that he's like, hey, you know what? Brother Earl would be really good to handle this in the year 2014 or whatever. Way before Brother Earl was ever thought about. But God's got a plan for us way before we were ever even thought about. You are his masterpiece. Give him some praise. Let's go to the next slide. Yeah, right there. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. Really fast. Look, think about this. The angel's calling her by name. But we shouldn't just skip over that, man. God knows you by name. God knows Mike Rupp by name. God knows Rhonda McPherson by name. God knows Kayla May by name. He knows us. He's that intimate God that wants to be so much part of your life. And let that give you peace this morning as you're pondering what's going to happen in your little world or whatever, that God knows where you are. He knows what you're going through. Okay? You're not alone. He's with you. And he knows you by name. He knows the hairs on your head. When he thinks about you, he puts a big old smile on his face, man. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid. We see that all through the nativity story. We see that all through the Christmas story. Something scary will happen. An angel will appear, which would freak anybody out, man. You know what I mean? If an angel appeared right there, we'd all be like, whoa, okay, it's cool, it's church, what's up? You know, it would freak us out, man. Totally. But see, when scary things happen in our world, God wants us to understand, hey, greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you. Okay, the Lord is with you. Yeah, you don't understand everything that's going on. And it's crazy sometimes. Sometimes you got to start the new job. Sometimes you get fired from the old job. Sometimes you get bad news from the doctor. Sometimes somebody stole your checkbook. Whatever. Fill in the blank, man. Greetings, favored one. God is with you. Okay? Do not fear. Every time when an angel appears, everybody's like, oh, and they're freaking out. And the angel says, you see it with Joe. You know, you see it with Mary. You see it with John the Baptist daddy. Okay? You see it with the shepherds. You know? They're freaking out. And the angel's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Be cool, man. Don't have fear. And that's an important thing that we don't need to skip over as well. God doesn't want his people freaking out all the time. God wants his people to have peace. And we can have peace when we focus on the fact that, you know what? I'm favored by God. My God is with me. And just like when Moses, when we're reading that thing about Moses a minute ago, it's not just the fact that God is with you. It's that that's what makes you different from everybody else in the world. You are not alone. And it's not because your buddy Biff is with you or the cool kids from school are with you. It's because the creator of the universe is with you. Amen. He's got the provision. He's got what you need. Matter of fact, Psalms 23 and verse 1. We'll just read this real fast. Psalm 23 and verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Now, we could just go through the whole Psalm 23 because it is so awesome. And I want to do that. But, I don't want to. We have time restraints. As a matter of fact, I got to go get on a plane a little while. But let's just look at this. Psalm 23 and verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you. Do not be afraid. Well, you don't understand what I'm going through. No, but God does. And he keeps telling you, don't be afraid, Steve. Don't be afraid, Paulie. Right? The Lord is my shepherd. Why? Because I'm in that family. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. See that? God's going to take care of me, all right? God's going to meet my needs. God's going to give me what I need. Now, having said that, is the Lord your shepherd? Is he your shepherd? Are you in that family, okay? Now, if you're in the family, okay, then the Most High God is your father. But are you letting him lead you, all right? Because like I said a minute ago, you're not always going to have God's blessing when you decide to go break his laws, when you decide, I'm not going to love my neighbor as myself. I'm not going to do that. Well, don't expect God to have your back. You know, when you decide, does that make sense? You decide, I'm not going to forgive that person. Well, okay, then you're saying, okay, God, I love you, but I'm going to handle this one on my own. And it's not going to bear that type of fruit that you want. Can I get a witness? Okay, so Psalm 23 and verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. What does a shepherd do? He goes before you. He goes before you. You're going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death? Yeah, yeah, we're going to do that. We're going to have to do that. But he's going to go before you. And he's going to protect us with his rod and his staff. And, you know, sometimes he will make you lay down by those peaceful, beautiful, green pastures and streams, man. Some of us just need to listen to the Lord. Because, you know, if you look at Psalm 23, verse 2, I think it is, he makes me lie down by still waters. Sometimes God will just have to put you in your place, man, and say, dude, relax. Stop freaking out. Just trust in me, all right? Relax. Stop freaking. Look at your neighbor and say, stop freaking out. All right. Good job. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. God knows you by name. For you have found favor with God. There it is again. We have God's favor. All right. 31. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son and shall call his name Jesus. What? All those people say, what? I'm 14, 15 years old. I'm a virgin. I'm already betrothed to this cat, Joseph. This is not what I had planned out. Why? How is this going to happen? Okay, but looky here. This is crazy, man. We're talking about the Savior of the world. Okay, that's a big plan. And God picked out this little insignificant little girl. You know, maybe nobody thought nothing about her. You know, I love my little girls, and I can only imagine how God looks down on his little girls. You know, how he looks down on his sons. You know, but he handpicked this little girl to be the mother of the Savior of the universe. And you know what? God's got a plan for you too. You know, God's got something big for you to do. How big? I don't know. But I'll tell you this much. That's what you want. You want what God wants for you. Okay, I'm talking about things that have eternal, lasting results, man. I'm talking about the lady that washed Jesus' feet. You know, that every time that her name keeps getting brought up, man, 2,000 years after that happened. I'm talking about when you give a homeless dude a glass of water, man, that's blessing God. I'm talking about this is what you want, church. Yeah, you need to have your plans and all that, and you need to work hard and produce, and I know that, all right? But what I'm talking about is we need to take the Word of God and we need to be obedient to it. We need to do what the Word of God says. So when the Word of God says, you know, you give somebody a little glass of water in my name, that's like doing it for him, okay? So God wants to use you. God has a plan for you. Well, what is that plan, preacher? The plan is this. Seriously, you want to know what God's will is for your life? Well, this is what I can do for you, all right? You take this book right here. You take the Bible. Those of you listening in Amsterdam or Rotterdam or Japan, you take the Word of God, the Bible, and you read what it says. And when it tells you to do something, you do it. When the Bible tells you to do something, you do it. When the Bible says don't do something, you do not do it. And you do that, guess what? You're going to find yourself in God's will. True story, man. The Lord is my shepherd. I'm going to let him lead me. He'll get me to that place he needs me to be. So we get all bent out of shape and stressed out. I just want God's will for my life. That's awesome. But we don't have to have fear. God says, fear not. All right? Greetings, favorite one. I'm with you. Follow me. I'll get you to where I need you to be. Amen. And guess what? If we make a boo-boo, we make a mistake, the Lord is my shepherd, his rod and his staff, he'll get me back on course. Seriously, man. I think we get way too stressed out about stuff like that. You know, when you make a decision, oh, this job or this job, well, which one is going to help with my relationship with the Lord? Which one is going to be more beneficial for my walk with the Lord? What is going to be better for my family? You know what I mean? Anyways, whatever, that's a whole other sermon. Is everybody all right? Should I pass out some Mentos or crackers? I don't have any of that. We're running a little long, guys, and I got to go somewhere. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, which means Lord is salvation, or Yahweh saves. And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be since I am a virgin?" Okay, now understand this real fast, church. She's not doubting, all right? Now, when John the Baptist's daddy, who was a highfalutin priest guy, when he got the news, he doubted. He's like, "I'm too old. My old lady's too old." And he literally doubted the situation. And he should have known better. We're talking about a church dude, right? We're talking about some dude that really knew Scripture. And here's an angel of the Lord not meeting him in his backyard or in his kitchen. But this is an angel meeting him in the throne, in the temple. You know what I mean? And the angel says, "Hey, you guys are going to have a baby in your old age." Like, what? He didn't believe the angel. Okay, but here's Mary. She's not doubting. There's a difference between asking how something's going to be done and then not thinking God can do it. You know what I mean? You can ask a question, but that doesn't mean you're doubting God, right? And if you ask, well, I'll tackle that later. But you can ask in faith. You know what I mean? You can have a question in faith. It's not doubting God. That's what we have going on here with Mary. And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be since I'm a virgin?" Okay, well, look. God's moved heaven and earth to line all these things up perfectly. See, this little thing about the virgin, little Mary, okay, this was prophesied by Isaiah several hundred years ago before it happened. "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name." It's not like, "Yeah, and you, if you want to, you can call him." You know, I was thinking Jesus. That just kind of rolls off the tongue. Jesus. No. This was prophesied by Isaiah 7:14. "Therefore, the Lord himself," listen to that, man. God's had things picked out for you to do, and I'm not talking about your grandma saying, "It'd be nice if you got into insurance, you know, you can set your own hours and all that." No, this is God, the creator of the universe, who's orchestrating all this, making it happen. But see, also, you are God's masterpiece, and God's got a plan for you, all right? So we need to just relax, trust in him, and say, "You know what? Here I am. Send me. I'll be obedient to your word. I'll do what you called me to do. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin's Mary, man. Several hundred years before she was ever even born, man, God had her picked out. Several hundred years before you were born, God had you picked out to do something, man. Well, what am I going to do? Why don't you see a need and step into it? You see a need, step into it. You know what I mean? It doesn't have to be something that everybody's going to pat you on the back for. Yeah, you see a hungry guy? Try and help him out. All right, whatever. Jump with me. No, never mind. Let's just read Luke 1:35. So Mary says, "Well, how's this going to happen? How's this going to take place? You know, I'm tied down to this guy, Joseph, and, you know, I am a virgin. What's going on here?" She's not doubting. She's just saying, "God, you know, what's going to happen here?" We do the same thing, you know. Sometimes we do doubt him, you know. Sometimes we're like, "God, well, I don't doubt you. I just don't know how this is going to happen. I can't see it." Well, God sees it, so trust in him. Luke 1:35, "And the angel answered her." Now, this is important. Church people, I know, man, we're going long. Just give me like 3 more minutes. 13 minutes? 33 minutes. Okay. Okay. In Luke 1:35, the angel answers her. So you got questions. You got big questions. But see, here are all the answers in the Word of God. There is literally an answer to what you're going through. Okay. So, just like little Mary, she says, "God, how's this going to happen?" God has an answer for her. Whatever you're going through, listen, whatever you're going through, God has an answer for that, and it's in the Word of God. Now, having said that, you might not like the answer. You might not like it, but this is the Word of God. This is God saying, okay, this is how you handle this type of situation. You turn the other cheek. "I don't want to turn the other cheek." Well, all right, go on, have fun with it. See how that works out for you. You know? I'm saying the answers you need are in the Word of God. "And the angel answered her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. Let's go to the next slide. Luke 1:36, read with me real fast. Like, not out loud, because it'll throw me off. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived. I like this. I like this, church folk. Because, like I said, you got questions, and we all do. All right, we want God's will done for our life. So we got these questions. Well, we look to the Word of God, and our answers will be in the Word of God. And we will see also that when God calls on us to do something big, or God calls on us to step out of our comfort zone, which He certainly does, amen? We will see numerous examples in the Word of God where God has been faithful to other people, okay? Remember, you are His masterpiece. And there's a great cloud of witnesses of folks that have already been through the same type of trials you've been through. And see, we have these examples of how God has been faithful to other people. That's what the angel is doing to Mary. Mary, I know this is a lot to take in right now, you know. But see, think about your cousin Elizabeth. Let me tell you about your cousin Elizabeth. You haven't heard from her in a while. Well, she's pregnant. I know she has been, let me just read this. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. So what we have here is a little opportunity for Mary's faith to just get a little stoked up. You know, she's not doubting. She just doesn't know how God's going to do this. We don't know how God's going to get us from point A to point B, but we know the end result's going to be worth the mess. You know what I mean? But the angel says, hey, let me tell you something here. You know, Elizabeth, you always liked her. She made the best dumplings. Remember at the family things? She's pregnant, yeah, and she was considered barren, but with God, all things are possible. So think about that, church. With God, all things are possible. Can I get a witness? And verse 37, for nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, verse 38, and Mary said, behold, this is really where it all kind of comes together. Because God wants to do things in your life. God has some plans for you that are, you know, bigger than we could imagine. I don't mean your name's going to be in lights. It might be. I'm just saying that's what you want. You want to be obedient to God and His plan. Like John the Baptist, Elizabeth's kid, John the Baptist said, he must increase, I must decrease, more of God, less of myself. And like Jesus Christ who said, not my will. This is Jesus talking to God the Father. Not my will, but your will be done. Okay? So that's you. Not my will anymore, but your will be done. And Mary said, behold. This is Mary talking to the angel. And Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Isn't that cool? Mary could have been like, nah, Daddy ain't going to like that. I can't do that. No way, man. This is a big mess. But thank the Lord she didn't, right? So that's what we want. We want to be God's obedient servant. So we sign off on whatever He has for us. You know, you take the Word of God, you follow it. You don't just read it, but you obey it. Amen? Okay, tell the truth, shame the devil. And Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let be to me according to your word. Why don't we just trust in God? Why don't we just trust in the word of God? When we have this book that has made all these fantastic and amazing promises, and goodness gracious, church, they always come true, just like God said, all right? I don't know. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Mary's like, okay, I'm God's servant. I don't know how this is going to happen, but God's a big God, so I'm obedient to Him. And she's trusting in Him, and that's the very last point I want to make. Guys, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Okay, remember, you are in the family. If you're in the family, you have His favor. He is with you. He's not always going to, He will never leave you or forsake you. Can I get a witness? I'm starting to stumble over my words. That's because I'm nervous. She didn't doubt God. I'm going to back that up. Luke 1:45. This is when Mary runs into the home of Elizabeth. Elizabeth is the lady that was all up advanced in age and was considered barren, but God blessed her and her husband with a baby boy, which will be John the Baptist, who will prepare the way for Jesus Christ. So Mary runs to Elizabeth, and this is Elizabeth sees Mary. Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit. The baby in her womb, in Elizabeth's womb, leaps for joy. And this is what Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, says. Luke 1, verse 45. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. So that just confirms it right there. And also confirms it that Mary did not receive a rebuke or a reprimand from the angel like John the Baptist's daddy did when he doubted. You know, but right there, Elizabeth's like, you believed in God. You believed that he would do what he said he would do. And church, that's the last thing I want to leave with you guys. Why don't we just step out in faith and believe that our God who is with us is going to be there with us and can make a way where there is no way. And I don't have to be fearful. I don't have to be stressed out about what's going to happen tomorrow because my God is with me. And I'm going to be obedient to his word because I want to be what he's called me to be. Can I get a witness? Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we love and we praise you, Lord. Thank you for your Holy Spirit indwelling each and every believer in this church, Lord. Just top us off right now with a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. Let us not be grumpy or bitter or rude or stressed out or sad, but let us enjoy your presence. Let us realize, Lord, that you are with us, that you will never leave us or forsake us, Lord, that we can do all things through you, Lord, and that we're going to be obedient to your word. Because we know if your word says it, there's a blessing when we obey it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.